your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hello and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, dating, all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and of course, whenever possible, sex.
Sex is good.
Yeah, Todd loves sex.
I'm really into it.
I'm joined by the very handsome Todd Anderson, actor, husband, father extraordinaire.
Hello.
Always good for the male perspective. Thank you for being here, Todd.
Woo! Thank you.
Yay!
So much.
It's almost Valentine's Day. So we're going to talk a little bit about dating.
Dating.
Yes. Very specific, though.
Valentine's
Ladies.
Day. What a bunch of bunk cooked up by the Hallmark people.
Don't even get
to
started.
The chocolates.
I know. It's really close to my birthday.
Oh,
yeah.
So
So, ladies, are you looking to date a super successful man? Do you seriously consider or judge a man by the number of zeros in his bank account?
I do.
You do?
Sure.
All right.
I won't date anyone who's not making serious bank.
Are you signed up for a millionaire matchmaker site and secretly hoping to find your very own Christian Grey?
No, but I'm going to talk to my wife and see if she's cool with me doing that.
Today we're going to learn the price of this pursuit. Is it worth it? And if so, what do you need to know to find love in your chosen tax bracket?
Oh my God. It sounds too cold and calculated.
I know, but you know what?
Love.
This is a real thing, though. This is a thing. And my guest today, she knows a lot about the uber successful.
She does.
Yes, she does. Not only has she been a practicing psychotherapist, hypnotherapist, and dream analyst, she was the mental health clinician for the NFL. And the story of her life at that time was portrayed in the USA Network series Necessary Roughness. She continues today to see high-profile clients, including athletes, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and even politicians. She is back again because she's so nice to come back
to
give us insights into the high-powered man and the unique challenges in these relationships. Welcome and thank you for joining us again, Dr. Donna Dannenfelser.
Woo!
How did I do? Did I say it?
You did a great job,
Sophie.
Thank you so much.
So Prince Charming. Handsome, wealthy, high-powered. You know any of these guys?
You know what I told my daughter when she was out looking? She was looking for Prince Charming. And I said, you're not going to find Prince Charming. You're going to wind up with one of the seven dwarfs.
Todd. As long as they're rich. Who cares?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, listen, I think it's every woman's dream. You know, we think about it. Our culture brings up females to want the Prince Charming. He's going to come on that white horse and he's going to whisk us away and bring us to the castle and everything is going to be wonderful forever and ever. These are the stories we tell our girls.
That's true.
Okay, but is there anything bad about wanting one of your things on that list of your guy's qualities to be that he makes a lot of money?
I don't think, is that bad? No, I don't think that it's bad. Is it bad when a man makes his list and the first thing on it is I want her to be stacked? I want her grill as big as it could be.
Right.
Is that bad?
Is that bad?
I don't know.
I don't.
Todd?
I mean,
I don't know if it's bad.
I never had that list. Well, I think sex is really important in a relationship. So if that's what turns you on and keeps you going, then.
So the answer to your question is it bad to have that on your list? No. Is it realistic? Does it make the group that you're going to be looking at smaller?
For sure.
It more difficult? I mean, you know, what you want him to be a millionaire? He couldn't just be like.
Like 100,000.
Yeah, I know. Like I was thinking of the word. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, $100,000 isn't enough for you. You need to have him have a million. I mean,
right,
what
like
is the real
the line,
number?
Right?
And if you're doing that, how many wonderful men are you excluding from the opportunity to get to know them?
Well, it's like, how high is this particular criteria on your list?
Right.
If like he's got to be rich is number one. then yeah, I would say you're cutting yourself off from a lot of potentially great life experiences.
I agree. Yeah. And
I think so too. My tendency is to seems to be that if you're looking for that, if that's such a high priority, why isn't, you know, connection and loving and affection up on the top as opposed to income? You know, I do question that sort of. Where's the, don't you want somebody who's going to treat you really well? And it's like, oh, of course. But if he's rich, I really want him to be rich. And it's like, well, okay. But again,
well, you know, if I have
minimizing
to pick,
your pool.
Well, right. If I have to pick whether he's rich or not, I would pick rich. I mean, let's, you know, if I had to pick whether he was 6 feet or 5 feet, I would pick 6 feet, you know.
Right.
Okay.
So then let's just go on the assumption that this is just on the list. Okay.
Like
if I'm going to look for a guy, of course I want him to be nice. I want him to be this. I want him to be that, but I also want him to be really, really successful. So what's the most surprising thing to you about these men?
The rich men?
Yeah. Or the, you know, successful politician, the very driven man. Because if you're looking for a guy who's got a lot of money, he's probably pretty busy and driven and dedicated to his work.
Well, not
right?
everybody. Some people are born.
Well, I suppose they could be born into it. That's true.
Okay, but let's talk about that. You know, that's a whole different category.
That is a different category.
Born into it.
Yeah.
So let's say you're not born into it.
Uh-huh.
He's his own made man.
Yeah.
And he's a millionaire. And it is true. He is going to be very busy.
Okay.
She's going to be alone a lot. Now, some women like to be alone a lot, so that could work.
That's true.
That could work. I think we're also talking about her insecurities. What is she bringing to the table? I don't really know what you're asking.
I'm asking about the personality type. If you're working with this population of men, what surprises you about what might surprise these women about them in the sense that, you know, like they might all have their own insecurities.
Men and women, we're coming to the table with insecurities. We're coming to the table with insecurities. And my question, you know, as I'm listening to you, my question that I have in my head is the women that want these rich men, I want to know why they haven't done anything to make their million.
That's a really fair
point.
Question. Yeah.
You know, I mean, what is she doing? I think there's a lot of men, the men that I have been privileged to work with, they don't want women that are coming with nothing. They really don't. They really do. Interestingly enough, they like smart women. And the truth of the matter is behind every successful man, there is a very strong woman. And men that are successful do not want a dummy on their side.
So if they're successful and single, they're looking for another smart woman.
They are looking for smart women. And also too, that is very attractive to them. You need to be able to spar with them emotionally, intellectually, or they're going to get bored and they're just going to go from one pretty face to the next pretty face, to the next pretty face. And the face that they wind up with may not be as pretty as the 10 before, but she will be smart.
Yeah. Well, except for George Clooney, who was doing that for a long time, and now he's married to a lady who's smarter than him, and she's gorgeous.
Okay.
Right? So
he's done good.
Yeah, outside of Clooney, that probably doesn't happen a lot.
He was really patient.
He took his time.
He took his
time. He had fun.
Yeah.
He sowed his wild oats, and then was like, oh, here she is.
And a lot of that has to do with timing.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah,
I
sure.
mean, he was ready. He was ready. She was there.
Well, speaking of timing, actually, there's a great conundrum in this whole discussion, you know, that when you're talking about self-made millionaires, these are people who work constantly.
Yeah.
All the time. And they don't have a lot of time for relationships, really. I mean, how can you have, you know, spend that kind of time with a spouse, that romantic time, if you're making all this money and you have all this responsibility to whatever company that you've either created or you're working for?
That's my issue. My mom always like, why didn't you marry a doctor? I'm like, do you know doctors work like 90 hours a week?
Yeah, this is my question.
Well, their relationship is with their occupation.
Right.
They are in love with what
they do.
Are
you hearing this, ladies?
Really, I'm going to say it again. They are in love with what they do. Now, it would be great if you were in love with the same thing, because then you have something in common. But if you're going to be waiting for him to come home from his first lover, you could be waiting a long time. So the question is, do you know what you're getting into when you go out with men at this level? And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know within the first 10 to 15 minutes of a conversation what that person is all about. That man will tell you everything in the first 10 or 15 minutes.
Really?
Absolutely. And ask him questions that matter. Questions that matter. Like, this is a great question. When was the last time you cried?
Wow. You're going to ask that on a first date?
That's serious.
Wow.
It is serious. When was the last time you cried?
My answer would probably be out in the car just before I...
Because I'm so...
My answer would be Sunday around 6:35.
Also, too, another great question to ask these men. How do you pay it forward? Now, some men will say, oh, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? Now, if he says, what do you mean by that? I question his heart, okay? Because he should know what that means,
right?
You know? If he says, oh, what do you mean? You know, what I give to charity? You can tell just by the way he's reacting to that question whether he's open to sharing. Because his reaction should be, well, I have this foundation I love to give to this foundation. And I'm, you know, he should be willing to tell you this. He should be proud to tell you how he gives back. So those are a couple of things that you need to look for. But again, I ask the ladies that are looking for these men, what do you bring into the table? I want to know what you're bringing to the table.
Yeah, that's true. As opposed to...
What you're taking.
Yeah. As opposed to being a kind of stereotypical gold digger. Is that...
Well, and so the is it a misconception that these men are looking for trophy wives?
Okay, there are men that are looking for trophy wives. There's no question about it.
Okay.
You know, and there are women that are looking for just rich men. So how superficial is that?
Right.
You know, I don't even know what you say about that. Are there men that are doing, yeah. But I think there's more men that want that go-to person. We all want a go-to person. I want somebody in my corner that, you know, I pick up the phone, that's the first person I call, you know?
So if you meet an attractive man, an attractive, successful man, it might behoove you to learn a little bit about his business, right? So you can sort of keep up with him in a conversation.
His business. Also find out about his mother.
I like to ask men when I was dating, tell me about your best friend.
Nice. Good one.
And
good
they were
one.
Always a little taken aback. Like, what, really? I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? And, oh, well, he's this and this and this and we do this and da-da-da-da. And
you also want to know about his childhood.
Or they don't have one. That's scary. not a childhood. I mean a best friend.
A childhood.
Yeah.
You want to know about their childhood too. You know, there are important questions to ask. You know, all that glimmers is not gold.
Right.
You know? And it's true for both men and women, you know, not just for the success. What about the successful woman? The
man well, going that was one of my questions. Mm-hmm, tell me about the successful woman and what are her challenges in finding a man? Mm. You know, this is
successful women
because some of these women do want to find a successful man because they are successful and they find that otherwise it's,
yeah,
it's unbalanced in the wrong way.
It's interesting. I mean, there are no studies that actually prove this, but my experience has been that it actually is easier for a successful man to find a woman than it is for a successful woman to find a man. The reason that I have found that is because a lot of men are intimidated by women of power. And a lot of women of power don't know how to power down. You know, you're running, you're talking, and then now you're having a glass of wine with somebody, and you haven't powered down. So you're bringing to that table this powerful woman that sometimes blows that man away. You know, he doesn't even know how do I compete with that?
Well, it's interesting. It kind of comes back to that masculine feminine energy. And I'm not talking, men and women both have masculine and feminine energy. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about dumbing down or becoming. Right.
Neither am I. Right? I'm not talking about dumbing down.
So talking about powering down. I like that you say it that way.
Relax.
Be receptive. Mm-hmm. Right.
Listen.
Because otherwise you're more masculine energy. Continuing for the evening, and he's not dating for that.
well, you know what?
In a way, to be
a millionaire in today's economy, you need to be a competitor.
Yeah.
And sometimes we forget not to compete at the dinner table over a glass of wine. We find ourselves competing. And I, again, I want to point out, I'm not saying dumb down. We don't want anybody to dumb down. We just want you to relax, take a breath, show him who you are without being in the workplace.
Well, you can say that same thing about a guy, can't
yes.
you?
Yes, same thing.
Whatever. Men don't let it go either. They're competitive all the time. Yeah,
and also men have learned that that power is very attractive, so they're throwing that power around all the time, and sometimes that's overwhelming to a woman. You know, I get that you're powerful, I get it, but who are you really? And again, we get back to, what is your truth? Show me who you are.
Well, and that might be an interesting thing to look at. Okay, so if someone were asking the question, what are you bringing to the table? Mm-hmm. And maybe another question would be, what is it about the wealthy man that you like besides his money, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the qualities in these men?
Confidence. Women like confidence.
And you don't necessarily have to be a millionaire to have confidence.
No, you don't.
Right?
No, you don't. You know, the whole thing, it's almost sad to say that, you know, you're going to pick your guy according to how many zeros he has.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad to say that. We get it. You know, I don't want to have to, if I'm here and I get to make a list, I'm going to put that on my list. But again, how many wonderful people are you knocking out?
A lot, I would imagine.
A lot, especially in today's economy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, the other question too, if you want a man of that caliber, what do you have that you're bringing to him?
Besides keeping yourself really skinny, right? And really tan and perfectly. I mean, honestly, the level of maintenance that... I mean,
yeah, that's...
to put yourself in the ring, you know, so to speak. The assumption for these women is that I have to be, you know, perfectly shaved, you know, from head to toe, perfectly coiffed, you know, perfect nails, skinny. You know, it's just it's this strange game that I'm watching playing out.
It would be shocking for you to know that a lot of these men are not looking for those women.
I wouldn't imagine they are.
They're not looking
if your whole life is dedicated to your physical appearance, what do you have to
talk
about?
How interesting could you be? Right?
Yeah, like what are you gonna relate to the guy with? You got your nails done. He probably didn't. So what is there to talk about? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. If you look at some of these multi-billionaires and you look at their wives, they're not models. They're smart. They're smart women.
They're mentally challenging.
Yeah. They are supportive. They are loyal. They're not models.
And they're probably not yes women either. You know what I mean? They're not like saying, yeah, that you keep doing that. They probably challenge in a way of saying, I don't think you're making the right call here.
Yeah, well, because, you know, who's your perfect partner? I mean, you want your partner to help make decisions.
And call you on your bullshit.
And
call you on your imperfections.
Bet they like that.
These men are surrounded by people that are yes people. They tell them anything that they want to hear. It is refreshing for them to hear someone tell them the truth in not an evil way. In a caring and loving way.
Yeah,
you know, I'm telling you this
because
nobody else is telling you this and you need to know it. They respect that more.
So we were talking about the rules of the game in the last podcast.
Yeah.
And let's go over those again, because it seems to me, billionaire or not, you've got the same requirements.
The three C's
in your relationship. And those are
communication, compromise, and caring. It's in every relation, regardless of income, regardless of a physicality. If I can communicate with you and we can compromise and I care about you, that man is going to want you. That woman is going to want you. What else do we want?
So for the woman that's married to, say, an entrepreneur or a med student, you know, future doctor, future lawyer, maybe an entrepreneur becomes suddenly wealthy, What would you say to them about sort of the challenges in front of them? What would you say?
Okay. One would think it would get easier. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get more complicated and more difficult. It's going to be more challenging, and the time together is going to be less.
Mm.
So now, can you handle that? Can you handle that? And what are you going to do with yourself when you're spending more time at the job? Are you part of that? Are you part of that job? Do you help him in his business? Or do you have to find something else to keep you occupied while he's gone? It's not going to get easier. Just because there's money does not make life easy.
Right. It might make the bills a little easier. But other than that, you've got, it sounds like, more challenges in your relationship.
Intellectually and emotionally and also financially. A lot of these people make a lot of money and it is a burden. I know many people that have lived a very... a life where the bills weren't paid on time, and all of a sudden they come into all this cash. They've inherited all this money, and they are frightened. They don't know how to keep it. They can't trust people anymore. Their life turns upside down, and a lot of them will say, "I wish I could give it all back."
Wow.
Because I did not know that this was going to happen. And instead of getting more friends, and they're just getting people that want from them. It happened in the NFL with the players. They would come come from the hood or come from really low socioeconomic backgrounds, and they came into all this money, and before you know it, everybody was asking them for money. And they would feel guilty if they didn't give them money. The NFL used to even have, and I believe they still do, workshops on what to do with your money. Don't give it away.
Yeah, you got to buy all of your, you know, cousins a big screen and a car, and the next thing you know, you're broke.
And you're broke. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, houses for all the siblings. And
Money brings on a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, much, much more than you'd ever imagine.
Yeah, it becomes a...
I would like more responsibility in my life. Like as much responsibility as I can get would be fantastic.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's... Well, see, Todd could... He literally could overnight become a multimillionaire.
Well, it's the it could happen. More time that goes by, the lower the odds. Yeah, no.
You never know.
Any one of us. And how fortunate for you, Todd, that you have a lady in your corner already.
Yes, and you know, I'm in her corner. We're both in each other's corners.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes... Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's hard to get together because we're in the corners all the time and we don't want to come out of the corners.
Of the corners.
Yeah, it gets tricky that way.
But you know that she was there before you made it big and then she's there as opposed to, you know, being that George Clooney. And does she really love me or does she just like all these cameras that follow us everywhere we go or, you know, the exposure? You know, why is she really here? I hear that all the time.
You know, when I was dating, I would kind of shy away from the man who presented himself as uber successful businessman type because I'm not super comfortable with extravagant gifts and that's not my love language.
Just for record, I am totally comfortable with extravagant gifts.
it's not my love language, you know? Like I'm about presence and contact and, you know, but for some men is in that position too, that is how they like to show their love and their affection.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if for every Jack, there's a Jill, maybe there is a Jill out there who that feels like her, that works for her, you know, that could be a piece of it. Yes.
Well, it could be. Yes, absolutely. And here again, we have communication because let's say that you happen to meet this person and you did not know he was a multimillionaire. He didn't lead on that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you fell in love and he, you know, he presented just what he wanted to present because he didn't want you to be with him because you thought he had all this.
That's a smart man.
It's a smart man. Yes, it is a smart man. And there are men that do that. They will not come and pick you up in their Cobras. They will come in their Chevy. And, you know, your reaction is very important. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So let's say that happened and you fell in love with this person. And now all of a sudden you find out he takes you to his castle in Rome. And oh, my goodness, what's happening here? But you're uncomfortable with gifts. You're uncomfortable with this lifestyle. Through communication, you can work through that. How cool if that happened and you were able to let him know, I don't like these big gifts. It makes me feel weird. And he tells you, well, I need to do that because it makes me feel that I'm doing something good for you. And you talk it through.
Right.
And you talk it through. I mean, that's how that gets worked out. you know, that's what happens. And yeah, there are a lot of men that will do that, will not show you what they have.
So somebody like an NFL player, it's kind of hard to hide on the outside that he's an NFL
well,
player.
Well, if you're famous. Or,
yeah, well, you can't, yeah, if you're mm-hmm. famous, you can't, yeah, right? But right. I do have a friend who's dated a few NBA players.
Okay.
There's actually an assumption, I think, that they even make more money than they do sometimes. I mean, football players make good money, but not all of them make...
Stars.
Yeah, only stars make good
football
money.
Stars
yeah.
make millions. Not, yeah. not the guy on the line. No. You know, not your second string.
People right. make the same assumptions about actors.
That
people
is true.
Have seen me on television.
Well, if
they
you stop wearing
rolling...
that giant Rolex everywhere.
Well, it's a nice watch. It was a gift from a very nice man.
We keep circling back to that with him.
I know. He's in a mood today. He's in a mood. What are you going to do? He's in touch with that side of himself, I guess,
it's
today.
It's all good.
He's not shy.
He speaks for all.
So powerful, rich, not powerful, rich. We're looking at the same rules of the game.
Money, it doesn't matter. Money is not mattering to anything. Just like the guy that's going to hide his money, you're going to have the guy that pretends he has money and doesn't.
That is so true.
That happens more often than not.
Yeah, because really, you know, when there's guys that are out there presenting themselves in the dating world this way, how do you even know it's true? I mean, just because my feeling always was, if a guy's driving a nice car, all that means to me is he's got a really high car payment.
Well, that, yeah.
that's a good point.
That's
the
a good
only
point there.
Thing that it yep. means to me, honestly.
Yeah, there's so many people who, I have a friend who leases a Porsche just so he can look cool when he drives into the lot. So mm-hmm. people, it's a fake it till you make it thing.
Well, it's, you know, and you know what's interesting? Yeah. What yeah. When women see men that have a 10-year-old car, do they say, well, he's probably not in debt? Or do they say
I do.
He has no yeah. money? Because that's, you know, some women are like, oh my God, why don't you have a new car? What's wrong with you? But it's true. He may
that's
not
my first
be,
thought.
Right?
It's good for you. You're not in debt.
You're not in debt.
Yeah.
You're not
that's
in debt.
That's a good
so
point.
Practical. It's almost embarrassing.
No, I think it's great. I think it is great. But there are a lot of women that are, you know, I don't want to, you know, your car's 10 years old.
Right. And not all wealthy men handle their wealth well. And they can get themselves into big trouble and stressful situations. And you think that you're going to date Prince Charming, who's got tons of money and has mm-hmm. no worries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wealthy men have plenty of worries, right?
Absolutely. And most people in general live above their means, regardless yeah. of what they're making.
Yeah.
If you're making $1 million, you're spending three.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
They crumble. Their house of cards can fall down just as easily as the guy who was making $30,000 and lost his job. Just yeah. as easily and just as quickly.
Yeah.
And that is a good thing to remember.
Hey,
yes.
Soph.
Yes.
I drive a 2002 Honda Civic.
There you go.
How much interest do you pay?
Zero. I own it outright.
Do you have bank fees?
No. I have a mortgage, but in the,
what's
my,
your interest
my
rate?
Car is all mine.
And your FICO score. Let's put that on the table too.
Good God.
I know. I would really, really, really rather a guy made, you know, like $50,000 with no debt than, you know.
That would be interesting.
A guy who's good. Yeah, he's good.
And be really good in bed. So
okay. Well, and hence we go to sex, and there it is.
Well, and there you have it. So yes. Yeah, so are the powerful men? Are they decision makers in the bedroom?
Loaded question.
That
okay.
Was
is it well,
question.
Okay. I mean, is it, I mean, you know, the rumor has it that a lot of high powered men like to go, you know, find a dominatrix.
Okay.
You know,
I've heard that rumor. I want to know okay. Where's the research that there's no research that has proven that to me. I would say again that you have those type of men. And you have other type of men. You know, sex is such a personal thing. I mean, there are very powerful people that really don't want to be powerful in the bedroom because mm-hmm. they're tired of making all the decisions. Can you just make a decision on whether you want to be on the top or the bottom? Because really,
I've been making decisions all day.
There you go.
Well, and that was something that we talked about with 50 Shades of Grey. It's uh-huh. like, are women sort of gravitating towards this little love story here because they're out working all day and trying to like conquer the world in the workforce and they just don't want to make any decisions in bed at, okay. you know, at home? Is this a real trend or is it just acceptable porn?
I think it's porn. I really do think it's porn. I know many young women that have bought the book, started to read it and found it boring. Mm-hmm. I know many women that found it, they needed the trilogy, you know?
Yeah.
I think it can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Do we make a blanket statement that this is what women like? I don't know. One woman wrote this book about a virgin mm-hmm. who quite honestly, I mean, I'll be honest. I did not read the whole book. I read the beginning, the middle, and the end. But what I could tolerate.
Isn't that the whole book?
No, I didn't mean in between the beginning and the middle.
Right. There was a lot you left out.
You skimmed.
Like we talked.
It was very repetitive. You have this virgin who has these multiple orgasms. I mean, he just whispers her name. She has an orgasm. I mean, come on. You know, she's young. I know.
That's
to be young
trick.
Again, right?
Yeah, I want to learn that shit. But,
right?
I mean, to be young again would be cool if that's actually what happens. I don't know. What do you think, Sophie?
That would be a cruel trick. If I could do that, like, that would be so mean.
Okay,
calling my wife while she's at work and just whispering on the phone while she's in an important meeting.
And she says, thank
you. That's
just
cruelty.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, baby.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
So really, what is that representative of? It's fantasies. Mm-hmm. We have fantasies. You know, the S&M that goes on. Everybody says, you like to be overpowered. Well, most of these, in most of these situations, there's a safe word. Right?
We have
the safe word.
Right.
Well,
they like it because it's safe.
Yeah. So if you're going to dominate me, but I have a safe word, who's really calling the shots?
Right.
Because when I'm done, I'm
good
done.
Good question.
You know?
Good question.
I mean, so who's really dominating who?
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's just, it's a fantasy. It's someplace for us to go in our imagination. And we go there. You know, but really, when you say sex slave, you know, a sex slave is somebody that has no say in anything.
Right.
You know?
Right. And
that's
a very, very dark place.
It's a very dark place to be. Mm-hmm. So do high-powered women want to be dominated? I'm sure there are some.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's some men that want to be. And I'm sure there's both male and females that don't.
So what this comes down to more, it sounds like, is these personalities exist and proclivities exist regardless of your yearly income.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. But we pay more attention to the super rich and super famous because they're super rich and super famous.
You know, and it makes for good drama. It's like when you watch television and they're always set in really, really nice, you know, houses because it sort of takes out some of the...
That drives me nuts in family sitcoms.
I know, it does. But it sort of takes... You know why? Because it removes an element of drama. We think that if we could pay our bills or we had it sort of easy as far as money is concerned, mm-hmm. that all of these other things would... fall into place. And Dr. Phil used to always say, if you marry for money, you're going to earn every penny of it.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Oh my gosh. That is
I know, that is
true. Yes. Talk about sex slave.
oh, really?
No, I mean, seriously, I mean, and I know many, many people that are very, very wealthy and very, very bored and very, very lonely and very, very sad. So I have found, it's been my experience, that money does not equal happiness. Ever.
You hear that, ladies?
People always say that, and I imagine it's true. But I would like to be miserable with lots of money. I'd just like to try it.
Well, if you're going to be miserable, why not be miserable with money?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to not having
money. Yeah, you can distract yourself. You can distract yourself.
That is true.
That is generally the argument that I hear.
Yeah. I would like to be able to go, you know what? I feel like shit today. I want to go to Italy and see if it makes me not feel like shit. And if I go there and I still feel like shit, at least I'll know. But I don't know if I have a bad day. I can't just go to Italy right now. It doesn't work like that for me. I would like that choice. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but what about if I could tell you you'll be happy every day, but you won't be able to go to Italy?
Ever?
But you'll be happy every day. But you're
take the happy every day.
Okay. I mean, I wanted to see some of the ancient ruins.
I really wanted to go to Italy.
I mean, like wine.
I'm with you. I would take the happy every day for sure.
I would too. I mean, I'm just messing around.
Yeah. Everybody would. So then what? So we're all in agreement.
We're all in agreement
that money does not equal happiness.
I can go to France right? And I could probably.
But the rules tell us one more time.
Yes.
For happiness in your relationships are
communication,
mm-hmm.
compromise,
mm-hmm.
and caring.
Caring. Mm-hmm. Deep concern and love.
Three C's.
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. I love it. That's brilliant. So, Dr. Donna.
Yes.
How do we find you?
Okay. You can go to my website at drdonnad.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can follow me on Twitter at
the doctor underscore
Donna.
Donna.
Yes.
Yes. It takes two of us to get that one out. And Todd, how do we find you, darling?
Well, you won't be able to find me in Italy.
Apparently.
Or France.
I found happiness. But you can go to toddrobinanderson.com and find out all about me there.
And you can find me on Facebook at MILF Talk or Sophie Venable. And you can tweet me at MILF Talk. My book, MILF 101, is available in paperback or in Kindle, iBooks, or Nook format. And that will help you be happy every day, too. So, remember to download your free goal setting and life rescripting workbook on my website at makeyourlifefabulous.com and make your life fabulous. Thank you both so much for being here. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Sophie.
Over and out.